Regarding the others, I honestly have no clue what's the pros and the cons compared to Apache APSX, but I know that Apache APSX is the only truly open source project, the only one managed by the Apache Foundation. So if you care about open source, not because, oh, you love open source so much, but you care about the future of the project, you care about long-term maintainability of the project, then it's our main benefit. I won't talk about performance or whatever, because again, I didn't do any benchmark myself. And every benchmark that is provided by any vendor can probably be discarded out of the box directly, because you should do your own benchmark in your own infrastructure.
You're listening to SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the next episode of SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast show about cloud, cloud security, cloud storage, cloud, Kubernetes. today, I have Nicola with me, Nicola Frankel. I think it's a German last name, right?
It's a German last name. I'm French, and it's spoken mostly by English speaking, so I don't care anymore.
All right, fair enough. You can jump right into that. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, why you have a German last name, and being French. And everything else.
I'm Nicola Frankel. I'm French. I was born in France. For a long time, I was a consultant in different roles, developer, architect, software architect, solution architect, whatever. I worked in projects with crazy deadlines, sometimes stupid management, changing requirements and stuff. And so I got very dissatisfied with it. And since a couple of years now, I'm doing developer advocacy.
Right. And we know each other from the Java world. So you've been a lot around the Java community and for a long, long while.
Yeah, I think we first met at conferences. I don't remember which one because it was quite long ago. But my main focus at the time was Java and the JVM.
I think the first time was actually still Java 1 or something. So people that know a little bit of the Java space and remember Java 1, you can guess how long this must be, or how far this must be ago. Right. So right now you're working for a company called API 7.
So API 7 is a company that is working on the Apache API 6. Yeah, that I agree. That's funny. That was probably designed by engineers with no clue about marketing, but it's still good because 7 is better than 6, right? Apache API 6 is an API gateway, mm-hmm. and it's an Apache project, obviously.
All right. So you mentioned API 6, and you obviously have the merch on you. So API 7 is like the Python version, right? It's one based. API 6 is the zero based version. We can argue which one is better.
It's a bit more complicated. So API 7 is the company,
all right.
And API 6 is the Apache project. But API 7 also has an offering called API 7. So either you have an API 7 like on-premise version or an API 7 cloud version. You can think about it just like Confluent and Kafka. Of course, again, API 7, API 6, it's a bit confusing, but just forget about the numbering. It's just Confluent and Kafka. Confluent contributes on Kafka, but still they have their own offering. They do support on their own products, and they also have an on-premise and cloud version.
All right, so that means that API 7 as a company basically has like probably the majority of engineers working on API 6, which itself is a project in the Apache Foundation, right?
I wouldn't say they have the majority, to be honest. I didn't check. But regarding the Apache Foundation, in order to for a project to be promoted to top level, you must uphold a certain number of conditions. So the process goes like this. You go to the Apache Foundation, you give the project, and then you become part of the incubator. And in order to be promoted, you need to, as I mentioned, uphold a certain number of conditions that I didn't check. But one of them is you must have like enough committers from different companies. Like in order for one company not to be the only driving force behind the product, which in my
Right, okay.
opinion is a good thing. Whereas the CNCF, the project is like managed by a company or different companies. In the Apache Foundation, the granularity is the contributor. So a contributor can afterwards, of course, change company, whatever. But in order to actually like graduate from the incubator, you must have a certain number of people from different company.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. It's supposed to be more of a community thing. I think that is the big thing
It
with the
is.
Apache Foundation.
But that's the
Also
whole
in com
point. That's the whole point.
yeah, also I think also in comparison or in difference from the Eclipse Foundation, where a lot of the projects are basically company driven.
I don't know about Eclipse. I know about the CNCF. I heard that in order to give your projects to the CNCF, you need to pay them money, which is a bit weird. Again, I didn't proof check that, but it's company driven. You talk to companies. CNCF talk to companies, whereas Apache Foundation talk to people.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. All right. Let's see. You said it's an API gateway.
Yeah.
So for the people that have not used an API gateway and have not an idea what that means, and I think API 6 is a little bit more than just a standard gateway, so maybe can you elaborate a little bit?
You can think about an API gateway as a reverse proxy on steroids that allows you to do stuff that is focused on APIs. I always use the same example of rate limiting. Rate limiting has been a feature of any reverse proxy since ages because you want to protect your information system from distributed denial of service attacks. The thing is, it works very well, but then you need to consider every one of your clients the same. So you rate limit them exactly the same. Now imagine you are providing APIs. Probably there is a huge chance that you will want to give some offerings so that a couple of customers can get a higher limit than others. And it means that you can do that in a reverse proxy, probably. But you would need to now add business logic into the reverse proxy. And as I mentioned, reverse proxy were designed at a time where they were completely purely technical. They don't like business logic so much. Nothing would prevent you from creating a C module and put it in Nginx and do that. But then you encounter a couple of issues. The first one is the open source version of Nginx. If you need to change the configuration, you need to switch it off and on again. If it sits at the entrance of your information system, it's not great. And now the business logic might change every now and then, and probably like quite often, meaning it's not great. That's why those technical components in general, they are not happy about business logic. You want to move the business logic away from those components. API gateways, in my definition, because you will find plenty of definitions. First, you need to change the configuration dynamically. You don't need to switch them off and on again. And although you still don't want to have too much business logic, it's not unfriendly to business logic. Meaning you can, for example, in Apache API 6, you would create your plugin in Lua, and then you can change the Lua code, and then it's fine.
Right. Okay. So API 6 also uses Lua. I think that seems to be a pretty much staple along a lot of the implementations.
Not really. I mean,
No?
regarding the architecture, it's based on Nginx, but as I mentioned, not great for that. So on top of that, you have something called OpenResty, and OpenResty is actually Lua code that allows you to change the configuration of Nginx dynamically. The thing is, the configuration of OpenResty itself maps nearly one to one to the configuration of Nginx. So if you are doing it at scale, it's not the best maintainability ever. So Apache API 6 provides you with abstractions. So what is an upstream? What is a route? Then you can reuse an upstream across several routes. What is a service? And everything is plugin based. So it's easy for routes to add a plugin, to remove a plugin, to change the configuration of a plugin, and so on and so forth.
Right. Okay. So from an applications perspective or applications developer's perspective, do I need to be aware of that, or does that all happen transparently to me?
That's the thing. Like, it's an infrastructure component. So normally you shouldn't care about it. You mostly don't care about it. Even better, in general, a lot of stuff that you would do with frameworks or libraries like Spring or whatever, you can remove them from every individual app that you create and put them in these entry points at a very specific place. Mm-hmm. So your application itself don't need to protect against DDoS because the API gateway will do it for you. And you can also have authentication, authorization, caching, whatever. You can mostly move all those features away from your app, focus on your business logic, and just use the plugins that you need.
Right. So you mentioned authentication. So I think it will hand me a JWT token or whatever kind of thing.
For that, we have multiple plugins. So yes, we have a JWT token. We have a KeyClock integration with a plugin. Yeah. We have OpenID Connect. We have lots and lots of plugin. And
all right.
Everything is plugin based, then nothing prevents you from creating your own plugin. So either to interface with one of your own proprietary authentication system, or if there is something that you want that is still generic, and then you can always contribute it back to the Apache Foundation, and then it becomes part of the products. And I mean, that's the beauty of open source.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we know each other for a long time. You know that I'm a big fan of open source for exactly all those reasons. Also from a company perspective, like a backing company, like in this case, API 7, I think it makes a lot of sense because you get like, I don't want to say free help, but you get people that love your project, your product, and that are willing and happy to contribute as well.
Exactly. I mean, we both worked for Hazelcast, although at different periods, and that was open source. But for me, like, this is the next step. Like, the product is not only open source, and open source right at the moment, like, is very interesting moment because some companies are afraid that your product will be shrink wrapped by a cloud provider, and they switch to an open license, which is not truly open source according to the Credo. But the Apache Foundation is fully open source. So even if, like, for whatever reason, API 7 decides not to work on the project anymore, then you can still have the project somewhere. And if you find a couple of maintainers, it means it's still maintained.
So from a deployment perspective, I guess I deploy that into Kubernetes or...
That's the thing. It's not focused on Kubernetes. So mm-hmm. You can deploy that in any cloud provider or even directly on the machine you choose. You have basically two modes. The first mode is the one that the one that you would like to play with at first. So you deploy your nodes, and then you deploy etcd, so the same one used by mm-hmm. Kubernetes to store its configuration. It's a key value distributed store, and then you can change the configuration of API 6 through an API call itself, and it will store its configuration in etcd.
Oh, I see.
And then you can, it's very dynamic. If you have more maturity in GitOps, if you are more maturity in DevOps in general, perhaps you will notice that, where is my configuration? Well, in etcd, but now I need to back it up. Mm-hmm. How do I migrate? I need to move the data from etcd to another cluster. So it's perhaps not the best production grade way. So another way is to have everything static in YAML file, and then YAML. I'm sorry, I hate YAML, but at the moment everybody is using YAML, and that's the configuration. Like, at least ops understand how to operate that. And so you have every node has its own set of YAML file, and then those YAML files are synchronized for GitOps to a GitHub repository. And then the GitHub repository is the source of truth, and it can be read, it can be audited, it can be whatever. Whereas if you store everything in etcd, it still works the same way, but it's opaque. You don't know what happens, right?
I mean, the last thing you said with the the GitHub repository being basically the infrastructure of infrastructure as code, a source of truth, that would probably then play into something like Argo CD to deploy the updated version, right? Okay, that makes sense.
We don't enforce any products, and actually, we just provide a way to statically configure Apache API 6, and then you use whatever product you want. We are not partial. We just allow you to do it.
So from your own feeling, like, what do you think is the most common use case why people would use API gateway? Is that, like, as you said, like, rate limiting? I can see that as a very common thing, not only for companies like X or Twitter or whatever you want to call those these days, but also GitHub. I think every meaningful API has some kind of a rate limit. But I could also see like DDoS attack, whereas I think people would probably use like Cloudflare or any of these providers. What do you think is like the biggest typical use case for that?
If you are using APIs, you probably need something more than just a traditional reverse proxy. If you are using a reverse proxy, you are happy with your reverse proxy. You didn't hit any limits of your reverse proxy. Just keep using your reverse proxy. As I mentioned, once you start to delve your feet into the API world, you will notice the reverse proxy as the features are, as some of the features that you want, but perhaps not the ease or the flexibility of configuration that you want. Back to the, you want to consider different clients in different ways. In that case, that's probably the time where you need to think about, okay, I need to think about the API to migrating to an API gateway. You can also, but contexts are so different that it's very hard to provide a simple solution that caters to everybody's need, but you could have a reverse proxy at the entrance of your whole information system. And at the second level, you would have the API gateway. Or you could have an API gateway for each different, I don't know, domain of your organization, because your organization has different teams for every domain. And then, though it would be possible to have one gateway that is managed by different teams, then it makes a lot of sense to have like different teams managing all their own configuration on their own components.
Right. Okay.
But it's like microservice, right? So everybody manages their own stuff, and you are sure that nobody will step on each other's toes. But again, it depends a lot on the size, on how well you're organized, on the maturity, on many different things. There are as many architectures as probably organizations.
Right. Just quickly hinting back at Kubernetes, I think when I may be wrong here, if I use API 6, I do not need any other ingress system, because API 6 can be the ingress provider for Kubernetes, doesn't it?
Okay, so getting back to Kubernetes, yes, we have an ingress controller. So we have a Helm chart. You can install API 6 inside your Kubernetes cluster, and it will serve as an ingress controller. So you will have the ingress controller itself, and it will configure Apache API 6 according to your manifests.
All right, cool. So, because just looking at the time, 20 minutes is not a lot. So when I want to use API 6, should I call you guys at API 7, or should I go with the Apache project, or should I don't know, do something else?
It depends. No, I would always, I would encourage people to, if you are like a tech person, just take the project, use the Docker container, for example, try to play with it, try mm-hmm. to check if it's exactly what you need, try to understand the limits and the benefits in your own organization. Then if you've got questions, we've got a Slack that I can send you the reference, and then you can start to ask questions like, why in this case I tried to do that and it works like this and I wanted it to do that. Then when you think that Apache API 6 is the right solution, then check if the open source version is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you are like managing, if you are running a company, you will need to have some kind of support at some point. Up until that point, of course, just use the open source version, be happy with it. If you want to use it in a production grade environment with support, with guarantees and stuff, of course, please call us. Then it also pays my salary, so it's also great. Yeah, but yeah, you're welcome to play with the open source version and to check if it suits your requirements.
Right. And before we come to the last question, which is something I always have to ask people, like, maybe a quick quick comparison to other products. I mean, there is a lot of like API gateways, at least in like air quotes, on the market. Like, why is API 6 special?
So first, every cloud provider comes with its own API gateway. My feeling is that all of them are much better integrated,
mm-hmm.
much, much more limited in features.
Right.
So again, if it suits you, then use them, that's fine. If you find yourself that at some point you need to find workarounds, then perhaps it's time to move away from them. Then about the comparison, the only really in-depth comparison I've done so far is with the Spring Cloud API Gateway. I have written a blog post, but in short, if you are a team, a developer team using Spring, knowing Spring, then use the Spring Cloud API Gateway, it will be fine. If you want an ops team to operate it, then probably it won't be that great. Because the basic level, you can do a lot with YAML, and then you find yourself needing to write Java code.
Mm-hmm.
And ops people, I'm sorry, but they are not like expert in writing Java codes. You don't want to have a compile phase. You don't want to have, well, anyway. So if you are a team, as I mentioned before, if you are a team, you manage your own domain, you have only developers or DevOps people, you are familiar with Java, you are expert in Spring, you want to only manage your own stuff, then perhaps it could be a very good gateway for your needs. Otherwise, I'm not sure it's a great idea. Regarding the others, I honestly have no clue what's the pros and the cons compared to Apache API 6, but I know that Apache API 6 is the only truly open source project, the only one managed by the Apache Foundation. So if you care about open source, not because, oh, you love open source so much, but you care about the future of the project, you care about long-term maintainability of the project, then it's our main benefit. I won't talk about performance or whatever, because again, I didn't do any benchmark myself. And every benchmark that is provided by any vendor can probably be discarded out of the box directly, because you should do your own benchmark in your own infrastructure.
Couldn't have said that any better. It's something that I keep telling people when they ask whatever company you work for, there's always people asking for benchmarks, and it's always like, don't believe benchmarks. And even if a vendor is really honest and tries to do meaningful benchmarks, it's always an artificial data set or whatever. Run your own benchmarks, do it with your own data set, do it with your own like operational behavior, and figure it out for yourself. We can help you, but you just don't want to believe our benchmarks or not.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Last question. What do you think is the next big thing or the current trend, what is taking up right now in cloud Kubernetes, containers, API gateways? I don't know. What else?
Honestly, I'm very, very bad at forecasts. Really. A long time ago, I was still a developer. I was betting on Flex, the Adobe Flex. That was amazing. Like, instead of having to cater for each browser-specific like implementation details, you would just like compile your stuff and it would be rendered exactly the same way on every browser. Wait, you know what happened, right? Yeah, Steve Jobs just killed it. So I'm very bad at forecasts. I can't imagine what will happen next. I think that we are going to see a solidification on Kubernetes. I mean, a lot of companies are now like really seriously using it. So it's not going to be a toy technology anymore. Even a couple of years before, I'm not sure it's a forecast. It's already been going for a couple of years. I find it interesting that Docker is coming back, right? So there was this Docker thing a couple of years ago. Everybody's, wow, Docker is amazing. And then it went, woof. And I see they are trying slowly to come back. I don't know if it will be successful or not, but I find it interesting anyway. And on API gateway, I have no clue.
All right, fair enough. You could have just went the same way as everyone else and say AI, blah, AI here, AI. But no, thank you very much. We're unfortunately out of time. It was a pleasure. It was very interesting. I haven't tried API 6 myself yet, so I've actually learned quite a few things, and I hope some of the listeners did too. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks a lot for the invite.
All right, for the audience, next show next week, or next episode next week, hope you all will be listening in again. Thank you very much, and see you next week.
The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io